Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Sickos. This is Robert.
All right, Robert, hour number three already. No better way to start it off than with Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. See what he's up to this morning. Cliff, what is up?
Oh, morning, Mickey. All good, man.
Good morning, buddy. What's going down?
Well, I was just sitting there listening to you and Sharky talking about the, you know, when they moved the trout limit to 14 to 15 to give the trout an extra spawning, right?
Yeah.
Well, what? Think about this, Mickey. What if you took that same inch and knocked it from 25 to 24? You can't keep, you know, but one trout over 24. How much more would that 4-pound, 5-pound fish spawn that you released in that little 15, 16-inch fish?
No doubt.
Don't they think about putting it on top end? Because that little fish, the 16, 17 inches spawn, is not going to produce as many eggs as that big old breeder that's past all the predators. You know, she's already made it past all the dolphin and the birds and all that stuff. And, you know, so why don't they think about just knocking one inch off and keeping it, you know, you can have one trout over 24 instead of 25, and just that one inch, just think how many more fish we would have that spawn from that 24-inch fish, 25-inch fish. That's just a thought. I was sitting thinking of that. Talking about putting fish back in our system, I think that you need to look at the breeder that's a 4-pound breeder instead of a 16-ounce pencil that's going to, you know. I was just there thinking about that.
The only difference I see in it, the reason I see their point, is because they have the enough of those size males to accommodate fertilizing all of the eggs. You know, because if you noticed, one thing we have noticed over the years, and I know you have too, is we don't have the big male trout that we used to have. Remember all the big males we used to catch? Doing backflips out of the water, ripping drags like crazy, fighting males, and we don't see they're not as prevalent as they used to be. For me, anyway, you know, fishing up here, I know the whole coast is different, but I would like a middle slot. James and I talked about this years ago, range between 20 and 25 inches. Man, that's your brood right there. Those are the ones that produce a lot of eggs, and man.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what's happened here is everybody wants to take the picture of the best stringer of fish, so they're trying to put those 22s to 25 on the stringer to make a good picture. Well, you know, really, you're really hurting the system, because if you would just keep those 16s, 15s, 17s, and let the bigger ones go, you know, next year when you catch them, they're going to be 26 inches long, and they're going to be a real trout, you know, but it's hard. And I understand people wanting to keep them. You know, they don't get to fish very much, and they come down here and they hire a guide, and they want to They want to be in their picture with their buddies with a big stringer of fish, and I understand that, you know. And I had those guys, you know. You know, this week we never kept a single fish, Mickey, not one fish. I didn't have anybody take care of a stringer. And that's just kind of where we've gone to. And then all of a sudden in the middle of this, I'll have a group that wants to keep five fish apiece, you know, and that's just – and then I got to where now I'm like, Jay, I ask him in the, when they get in the boat, I says, are we keeping fish? And, yeah, we want to keep a limit. Well, I'm probably going to take you to a different place if you're going to keep a limit of fish, because I'm not going to pull you out on these big pigs and let you pull out those 24, 23s out of my out of our system. You know, I hate to tell you that, but it's probably the truth. You know, unless you tell me that you're going to let them go. Unless you tell me you're going to let them go, you know. And, you know, I'm not, that's just the way it is. But our week was really neat. I had a trip on Thursday, and I was listening to Jane about that gray liner day where you can't tell the horizon from the water. It was all gray. I mean, when you stepped out of the boat, it was just like being in the gray zone, I call it. You know, the only thing you could tell the difference between the horizon and the water was a mullet would flip, and it would break your vision for a second, and you could see what was going on. And I run way down south in the dark Thursday. It's just slick calm, and I get down the spot, and I troll the water in. I'm seeing just a little bit of bait, you know, more than I've been seeing early in the week, and I'm kind of getting excited because I said, man, there's a big fish spot. We're up here shallow, and this bait's flipping every once in a while. And so when I power pole down, I sit there about 15 minutes, and everybody's wanting to get out of the boat. I just sit there and look and get a line on where the mullet are flipping, because that's going to tell you the line of fish. And that lets me know how close to the shore I'm going to wade. If everybody piles out of the boat, and then we scatter all out, and then 30 minutes later we realize, hey, man, all the fish are flipping in pocket-deep water, all the bait, so that's where the fish are. Then we get now I'm pulling in and watching the bait and trying to get a pattern on what's going on. And so we did that, and we piled out. And the bite that morning was between like 5:30 and 7:30, the peak bite. And it was right on, because we piled out the boat and we popped some 3 to 4 pounders. Not a lot of them, but the fish were good in there. And boy, they at about 7:30, Mickey, 8 o'clock, it just went shut down, no bait. And I probably should have stayed in there. I think they hit a lull there. And I pulled away and I says, man, I'm thinking about another spot. So I pull out and I'll wait another spot for about an hour. We catch two fish. I go, man, I'm going back in there. And, go back in there and catch a few fish, but never would really pop, Mickey. All day long, that gray line was never really any sunshine or any tide movement or any wind to really kick the bite in. You know, just like you say, you walk into two or three, then you catch them, then you move, and you walk into two or three more. They're not, fish aren't moving, so you're actually moving to the fish, and you're catching them off a piece of structure that you can't see because the sky is gray, you know. So it was a very interesting morning. And, the day ended up where about 2 o'clock, we started getting a light east wind, and the last wade, we got them pretty good. You know, we're catching, you know, two or three at a time, like three casts, three fish. You know, nothing big, nothing over 5 pounds, but just good solid fish. But it's so funny how that little bit of east wind broke the horizon a little bit and kind of keyed on a bite. But if we wouldn't have had that little bit of east wind at 2 o'clock, it'd have been the same all day, you know.
You know, that's amazing, because duck hunting is the same way. You get a high gray liner and dead calm like that, and those ducks just flare there. Off of the – I think they see their reflection. I don't know what it is, but they don't decoy well, and we've seen that over the years. And, you know, a high gray liner is just not one of my favorite type of skylines.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a 30-mile-an-hour north wind.
Quail are the same way. They don't like that either. You know,
yeah,
they
got a great
able
video
to see those hawk shadows, you know, with the sun out. And Charlie mentioned that the other day. He said as soon as the sun would pop out for a few minutes, they'd just start catching them really good. Then it'd cloud back up, and they'd quit catching them.
And it's funny, because we're catching a few fish on corkies, and the white corky's been hot. You know, the white, anything white right now, a glow color, it's just been really hot. Even on our Placis, white's been hot. And, of course, plum chartreuse. But it wasn't much on Thursday. It wasn't much of a thump. It was just a pickup, you know, a weight change. Never really got into them where they're really eating real good. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of common for that you know, type of day we had. But, and it's so funny, because I'm sitting there I go back and look at records and stuff. And January is one of my hardest months, because everybody's, you know, ready for big trout. Well, the big trout really don't show up here until February. I mean, the really good trout don't show up here until February. So when everybody's, you know, well, it's cold in January. Yeah, I know it's cold, but man, the big females aren't, you know, coming up yet. And Now, back in the old days when there was tons of big fish, I caught a lot of fish in January simply because there's a lot of fish. And sure. I fished deep trenches out of the boat and stuff. But now, you know, there's not as many big fish in those areas, so you don't catch as many in January. Now, February, when everybody's coming up to spawn and they're coming up to eat when it's cold, it's a different story. You have a lot more fish up there because they're coming up for two reasons, coming up to eat and they're coming up to spawn.
Right.
And so February is a much better month for me. I can't wait.
I agree. 100%. Well, let me take a quick break and come back with you. This was a short segment, and I'll do this break, and we'll come back and continue on with this conversation.
Hang with right, Cliff. Me. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Well, I need to tell everybody about the Galveston County Fishing and Outdoor Expo. That's at the Galveston County Fairgrounds on Highway 6 between Hitchcock and Santa Fe. That'll begin Friday, January 29th at 4 p.m., runs till 8 o'clock. It'll run through Sunday till 5 p.m. on the 31st. There's free parking. You get a $10 adult admission, and that's good for the entire show. And they'll have unbelievable deals on fishing products that you're not going to find anywhere else. Most of these products are not in stores, and the local vendors, they'll be offering products like rods, reels, lures, stringers, corks, fishing apparel, kayaks, bay boats, and fishing guides, a whole lot more. And they'll have indoor and outdoor displays by great vendors like Fish Stick Rods, Chicken Boy Lures, Captain Roy's Marine Training School, Hoodoo Kayaks, Line Cutters, Outcast Fishing Charters, just to name a few. There'll be even a crawfish boil and tons of fun with that. That's the Galveston County Fishing and Outdoor Expo, January 29th through the 31st at the Galveston County Fairgrounds. See you there.
Of the seven teams who were looking for a head coach, the Texans are now the only ones who have not filled the position.
The Texans were the first job opened and the last job to be filled.
Could their target still be in the playoffs?
They're waiting for somebody. Could be waiting for Leslie Frazier, could be waiting for Eric Bieniemy.
When the search comes to an end, we'll tell you what you need to know during the most pivotal time in franchise history. Insider access, exclusive content, Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here.
Captain Mickey for Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. And they're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. So, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait, look no farther than Boyd's for your next fishing trip. It's as good as it can possibly be from their tanks to your live wells. And no better way to live that bait than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display there. Or for more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're there, check out all their wild-caught Gulf shrimp, and it's getting to be crawfish season, so check availability on those. You can call the store at 409-945-4001 or boydsonestop.com. And when you go by and see the good folks at Boyd's, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 617 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and continue conversation with Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, man. I was thinking about Sharky while I go talking about if they catch all the fish up, we'd have to get a real job, you know, and I was thinking about, well, I guess you and I and Plog and Sharky could get a job as being a greeter at Walmart. I think there's enough Walmarts to go around. I mean, we could be greeters, but the only deal is we'd have to take everybody to the fishing department because that's the only thing we really know anything about.
You know? We could find that, I promise you.
But I don't know what I'd do if I didn't fish, Mickey. You got a real job. I mean, I'm impressed.
Well, it's all good. I'm happy. I can go both ways, man. Weather's bad,
man.
I got a good job. If the weather's good, I can go do that too, so.
Man, that's good stuff right there, man. That's good stuff. But, yeah, and, you know, also, you guys, about the flounder, it's the weirdest thing because you have all those flounder this year and we have hardly any. It's just nuts, man. You know, I just don't get it. You guys flounder year.
About 3 years ago, y'all were really catching some, awesome flounder down
monster.
There. Big ones.
Yeah.
Monster flounder.
Yeah.
It cycles.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's just weird, you know, because I'm very seldom catch a flounder. It's so funny because you know, we didn't carry any stringers this week and had a guy catch a big old saddle blanket flounder about 19 inches and let it go. I said, how many times did I have a guy catch a big old flounder and let him go? I mean, you know, that's just nuts. That was crazy. But I think a lot of it, too, is we have so much clear water here. We have a lot of commercial activity. You know, everybody's got a flounder boat here. I don't know if that's part of it or what in here, but it could just be, like you say, cycling here, cycling and, you know, different, they like different conditions in the water or something, but they're just not here like normal. Just can't figure that one out.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know, did Matagorda have them pretty good?
No, not as good as we did. I think Galveston really shined this year, you know. Back when y'all were hot 2 and 3 and 4 years ago, so was like Sabine and Calcasieu over the east of us. And we came to the height of our cycle this year, I think. And Matagorda, and caught quite a few, but nothing like we were catching over here, no doubt.
Yeah, and the amount of big flounder you were catching was amazing. The amount of 8-pounders and 7-pounders, that's just nuts, man.
Yeah, it was a good year. It really was.
I'm hoping that'll recycle here. But, you know, it's great. We're having a better trout year than we've had in years. You know, January's been so weird. And I look back at the records in January, and this is what happens in January. So our water temperature's been running, you know, in the low 70s, high 60s. And all of a sudden we had this first really major temperature drop, and it dropped it from about 63 down to 46. And the fish went into a shock mode. And, you know, in February when this happens is the fish have done – this happened so many times to them, and the water's already gotten down to in the 50s and the 40s where, you know, they're not as shocked by it. And so when it goes down, they'll pull up quicker. And what's happened now in January, this is 2 or 3 days behind the cold weather when they're really pulling up, unless you're really on something good. It's and another thing is there's not as many fish or as many areas you can fish because there's somebody in them. And the whole game plan has changed now. A lot of times that we're doing now, and Jay did the same thing, where we're going in behind the deal where we'll leave the dock at 9 o'clock and fish till dark. And the people will leave these places at 1 or 2 o'clock, and we'll get in there in the places where they are, and those fish will turn on at 3 or 4 o'clock. And that happens a lot here in the winter. And, I've noticed everybody's kind of adjusting their game plan. I've seen people on the warmer nights, a lot more night fishermen in Baffin, which I've never seen before. So on these warm-up nights, the guys are fishing all night long. So it's amazing how we've had to change our whole game plan because of the pressure. It's a game you play with the big trout. If you really want them, you got to work for them. That's for sure. They're not an easy fish to catch.
Yeah, with all added pressure, and you know the sport's grown so big, so quick, and it's added a lot of pressure to the resource. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And the COVID-19 has just put so many more people in the water and more boats and more pressure. And it took out a lot of fish this year. And I'm hoping that we can adjust it a little bit. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like this summer, Mickey, compared to last summer. You know, you couldn't even hardly get into a marina or buy a lead head anywhere. Try to find a lead head or try to find a box of shells. I was talking to Mike Herring, and I was going to buy this 17 caliber. And he says, well, can you get shells for it? And I don't know. I've looked around. It's hard to find. That's the problem, is trying to find shells for these guns.
Yeah, like 22 Magnums, 22 Hornet and all that. I was talking to Mike Jeffcoat earlier about it. A box of 50 was $68, and they were lucky to find that box.
Man, I was so lucky, this guy. I know about 20 years ago when I moved in this place I'm at now, or 25 years ago, my neighbor down the street was a prairie dog hunter. He built wildcat rifles, and he shot prairie dogs, and he got cancer and started to die. Well, he gave me all of his rounds of 22 Hornets and, you know, shells like that, and I was going to give them all away and throw them. Thank God I kept some of them, because now my kids will have some 22 Hornets to shoot and stuff. But you just can't go out and find 22 shells or nuts. Try to find a 22 shell,
precious ammo.
But I think that's going to change. I think it'll come back around, don't you, Mickey?
I think it will. It just, you know, there's just such, you know, we've been around a long time. I've never seen a shortage in fishing tackle.
It's just nuts. I mean, braided line, lead heads, you know. And I was talking to Mike Herring, too, and there's a gun that a friend of mine got, some Golden Boy 22s. He said, there's not a Golden Boy 22 to be found in Texas on the shelf anywhere. It's just funny, you know, how people have just bought certain things. And I think Jake at Johnny's Sports Shop, and there's about the only one that's consistently getting everybody shells.
Yeah.
He,
Johnny Sportshop's been doing a real good job keeping up with the with the numbers.
He is something. Yeah. You know, Mike Grigger had that for a while, then Jake's got it now, and boy, Jake's just smoking it over there. He is he's on top of it. Everybody tells me what a good guy he is. I fished with him a couple years ago and had a great time with him, but he's able to get everybody's shells they need. I'm pretty impressed. So I may have to take a little run up to see Jake. You know.
Well,
you can't have too many.
You're coming in the right direction.
Yeah, I know it. I got to go to Belleville Meat Company and drop off this sausage meat I got, too, so I might make a little double trip.
You hadn't found a mule yet?
No, I hadn't found me a mule yet to take it up there, but I'm hoping Belleville's getting slowed down a little bit now where I won't have to wait in line too long. I can just buzz it up there.
They should be getting caught up. It's winding down. There's still a lot of people taking does and spikes and exotics, and it's – yeah. Processing's big these days. You know, people are in.
Well, I know what I'm excited about, this all this Axis meat I got. I've been eating Axis almost every day. Instead of having bacon for breakfast, I'm having chicken fried Axis steak in the morning and deer.
Oh,
I got some deer steak, so pretty much every day, and you know, Tony Gasad and all that good stuff. But I'm going to take for the first time some Axis and have some Belleville sausages and summer sausages. Man, that Axis has got to be dynamite.
Oh, you can't go wrong, man. Can't go wrong.
Might have to have some of the monster hot tamales, too. I had some of those. God almighty, those are huge.
I know. When I was there, when I went and picked up my deer when they were ready, I went to the meat market and did a little shopping. I took my wife with me. That was a big mistake because, boy, you better get the big checkbook out after she goes through there. And we got a dozen of those tamales. She goes, how are we going to eat all of these? I said, well, maybe Mickey Ray or somebody will come by and we can pawn them off on them. I mean, one tamale of theirs is like three of anybody else's.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
They're monstrous.
Yeah, we take a dozen out and sit them in the fridge and just kind of break them off and steam them, you know, for several days. You cannot eat that whole dozen.
No.
You know, you got to give them to your friends or something. But the ones that I have are Axis, and they were incredible. So I'm gonna have some more of that made. But I'm looking forward to that. God almighty, man.
You know, well, I'm glad. The show's winding down because now you're making me hungry. I'm going to have breakfast.
I got a little backstrap soaking in there right now, milk. Have a little backstrap soaking in milk in there, man. Right now, a little eggs backstrap. It's all good, man.
Man, I got fish hungry the other day, and I got to digging through my freezer, and I don't ever put trout up. And I had one package of crappie left. I said, man, this is almost a year old. O'Kelly, my buddy from Conroe, always brings me some fresh crappie at the fishing show.
Wow.
And I found one of his packs in there. I thought it out. Those things they tasted so good. I fried me up some fresh crappie. That was so awesome.
Man, I did the same thing. I caught all those fish in the surf last summer, and I froze a couple of packs in water, you know, and put them in the freezer and took them to the deer lease. And everybody's eating steaks at the deer lease every night, steak. And I piled up those fish, had a big fish fry at the deer lease. And boy, what a nice change to have some French fries and fried fish at the deer lease. It was a big hit, let me tell you.
Yeah, it is.
You can't
beat it, man. That's what I always do for my birthday down at Blaine's. I'll do shrimp and fish and oysters. And, man, they just go crazy over that.
Well, next time you do it, you got to call me, man, because I drive all the way just for some oysters and shrimp, man. I'd love it.
That's what we did this year. I couldn't believe it. Man, and those fresh shrimp I got from Boyd's, those big U-10s, man, I butterflied them and did my magic on those. And, I had no complaints.
Oh, golly.
I never seen food leave a table that fast. Those guys were scarfing it up, man.
Yeah, it's all about seafood at the deer lease. It's different, you know.
It is. It's great.
It's out there in the woods. It's much better. But, yeah, I'm kind of winding down now on the deer lease and going to put corn on the feeder one more time and feed them through February so they don't get so hungry and kind of wrapping things up there. But, man, I had a bumper year on deer meat. It's like the old days when I worked at Sarita. When I worked on the Kennedy, everybody would leave, Mickey, around these, you know, after Christmas. And we have, you know, 200 does to shoot.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I mean, they kill $300 or $400 on 230,000 acres. Well, you know, boss says, you're going to go kill – how do you kill that many doe in doe season? So we get all these people out here and have these doe hunts. And like I said, that one time my dad and a couple of my friends went out and we killed 17 in one day and put them on a trailer. And my dad had just got married to his second wife. And we pull up in the driveway with all those deer on that trailer. And she comes in the driveway and she goes, you can't go hunt with Cliff anymore. He doesn't know when to quit. So, man, it was like, duh.
Talk about a meat hall.
We did, and we got all of our relatives in. One of my cousins had a John Deere tractor, and he put a grinder on the back of it. And we ground up 700 pounds of meat, and my dad took all the tools out of the tool shed and made a smoke room out of it. We smoked that sausage and put them in twos with about five or six of my cousins. And we had sausage. We gave sausage to everybody in the world. But, you know, it's amazing what you'll do. But they were going to let, you know, all those deer, they want them all shot. They were just going to go shoot them and let them go. I said, man, you just can't do that. They were having these youth groups down there, and they were crippling all these deer, and it was just horrible. So at least we took the guys and people that could shoot and got them out of there. But, you know, they wanted to have these youth guys and, you know, gut shooting these deer. I just couldn't take it. I said, no, man, we're not doing that. You know, we're going to shoot them right, and we're not going to shoot them, man.
True. I'm with you on that. That's too good of stuff to waste.
That's so true, man. That's so true. A lot of hungry people out there, man.
Yes, there are. And it's could get worse. We got to get through this COVID stuff. Get it out of the way, man. I've had enough of this.
I have too, buddy. But that's all right. We got plenty of animal. There's plenty of dove and stuff in my neighborhood. I'll be all right, man.
We won't
starve. I can eat axes and dove. No, I'll eat axes.
Like the song, a country boy can survive.
That's it, buddy. That's it, man.
All right, man. Well, Cliff, if somebody wants to come down to Corpus and fish with you, give them a number so they can get hooked up with you. I highly recommend it. I can't wait to get back down there and go pop a wade with you.
Yeah, you need to, man. You need to come down. I can't wait for you guys to get back. But I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Cliff, it's always a pleasure, and have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. Great guy. Known him a long time. Heck of a fisherman and really fun to fish with. Never a dull moment. Well, you know, it's another innovation from Seaguar. They're the proven leader in saltwater leader material. Introducing the new gold label leader material. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet, 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater. It creates more natural presentations for better catch rates, especially in clear water on leader-shy fish. And the new gold label is made with exclusive Seaguar fluorocarbon resins and a double structure process, and it provides exceptional knot strength and tensile strength, yet it's soft and it cinches easily for fail-safe knots. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer, or you can learn more at Seaguar.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 636 right here in the Bayou City. Let's run way down south now, Jim Hogg County. Let's check in with Captain Blaine Fryermuth. See what's up with Texas guys down there this morning. Blaine, how you doing, bud?
Good morning, everybody.
What's going on?
I'm doing good. You're looking good down here for us.
Good.
It is dense fog. We can see about 75 yards, and we have some quail hunters in, and that's what we're fixing to do. We're fixing to go quail hunting here as soon as it starts getting light.
Awesome.
You can't ask for anything better for when you're riding the roads quail hunting. Fog is the best thing you can have.
Is it? That's incredible.
Yep. The quail come out when it's foggy. They feel protected because the hawks can't see them, and they come out everywhere. So we're fixing to find out.
Yeah, I'm showing an advisory on my phone right now. Dense fog advisory remains in effect until 9
well,
this
we
morning.
Got,
one quarter mile
not,
or less.
Yep. You know that closest feeder here in the yard off the front porch? You can't even see it. And that's probably 65 yards away.
Yeah, that's pretty dense. It said Coastal Kennedy, Northern Hidalgo, and Jim Hogg Inland.
Yep.
Extreme you better know hazardous going. Driving conditions this morning.
Yep. Well, all year long we had this fog deer hunting, and
that's
you know
not
that's
good,
not good
though.
For deer hunting. But
no.
Now the deer season's over. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna start quail hunting. We got one weekend left of doe and spike season. Next weekend we're gonna try to take hunters, whoever wants to come kill some does and spikes and hogs and et cetera, coyotes.
Right.
That will be the last weekend we can do that for does, and we're gonna start trying to do some quail hunting and varmint hunting. Try to finish it up.
Yeah, you got a ton of does, man. You need to have several of them shot. I've never seen a doe crop rebuild as fast as yours did.
Well, you know, we had that drought several years ago, and we lost, you know, all of them for 2 years. We didn't have hardly any, and now we've had twin fawns for the last 2 or 3 years. So
yeah,
it doesn't take long for the population to rebound.
Nope, you're loaded up.
We got them. But every time those does have twin babies, one of them's a buck and one of them's a doe.
Yeah.
We're fixing to have the best buck population we've had in a long, long time.
The cycle continues.
Yes, sir. We need some rain. Now, all this rain that everybody's getting, we still are not getting it down here.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep. We had a misting rain for 2.5 days. It's probably the stuff that y'all been getting in Houston and Baytown. But that we had that for 2.5 days down here. But yesterday afternoon, the sun came out and cleared off. It was 84 degrees, and all the moisture just went up in there. It was gone. The roads are already powder keg dry. Dust going down the county road.
Unreal.
Yes, sir. But wow. We had all these guys that came in quail hunting. We made a dove hunt yesterday afternoon, and they got between 15 people. They got about 120 doves, I guess. Not
well,
bad,
too
really.
Bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. And, you know, most of them were just sitting in the chairs relaxing and just enjoying the summertime atmosphere because it was hot. I mean, it was 84. It's supposed to be, like, closer to 90 the next 2 days, today and tomorrow.
Goodness.
But here come the rattlesnakes.
Only in South Texas, bud.
I know it. But we're still seeing big
now,
bucks.
Dove season, does that end this weekend?
It ends today.
Today? It ends today.
Dove season ends today, and we're not. I don't think we're going to hunt them today because we're going to be quail hunting all day.
Yeah.
But that was our last two round does was yesterday afternoon. That was it. It was a decent hunt. We hunted three of the water holes, which two of them are dry, and the water hole actually had water. Was the slowest hunt. That didn't make sense.
That doesn't make no sense. That's right.
It doesn't make sense. But anyway, it was pretty good flights. There was a lot of sheep going on yesterday afternoon.
Played any Most washers were, lately?
Everybody's playing washers. I haven't, but, you know, we got the washer pit set up. Everybody's doing that, too. It was a wonderful afternoon yesterday. It was like a beautiful spring day, but it's not spring. It's still winter. It was just a perfect afternoon, I guess you could say, for having just fun with all your buddies.
Sure.
Down here, Guy Matthews walking.
Oh, Guy's down there? Oh, cool. Well, tell him hello for me. I like old Guy.
Yeah, he's 80-something years old, still hanging in there.
Still doing it, man. You got to keep moving. Don't ever stop.
But guess what? That biggest buck that we've been seeing here at the camp,
right?
It was on the county road 2 mornings ago in that foggy, misty rain. And the guy that saw it, it was just, you know, it's 2 miles off our property, but, you know, how they roam around.
Yeah.
The oil field guy that takes care of all the oil wells out here, he saw it. He said that is by far the biggest buck he's ever seen down here, and he's been here his whole life on low fence.
That's that buck we saw. Richie saw that time after he shot that big buck, then that one came out?
Yep. Yep. He's living down here his whole life, and he works all the oil fields down here.
Right.
He said it's a 190, he said, for sure, he said it's a 190 plus.
My goodness.
A low fence deer that made it through.
Well,
and he was standing on the doe. He said he drove the truck. It was just standing right there against on the county road right here on AA Martinez. And he said it wouldn't even run from the truck, standing on the doe, just standing there looking at him.
Well, that's something we can look forward to next year. Maybe it'll be 200 inches.
Well, he probably will be. And we saw him 3 different times right here around the camp. And nobody ever got a shot at him. He's just too smart. He has too many years of our atmosphere. Those deer know everything about us, and we don't know nothing about them.
Well, he's not real smart right now if he's on a doe. He's at his peak weakness right now.
And I was graining for quail yesterday, naturally, and I saw a bunch of bucks on does. I didn't see anything worthy of talking about, but, you know, there's still a lot of bucks on does just chasing them around, doing their thing.
I'm seeing a lot of snake pictures all of a sudden on Facebook again. this warming trend, they're back out again. So, man, y'all be careful quail hunting. Jeez.
I'm sure, you know, it's going to be hot again today and tomorrow. And so, they're going to be out. We got to be real careful.
Yeah.
They get mean when they come out in this time of year. They don't like people. They don't like anything. They're ready to strike.
Feelings are mutual. I don't like them either.
Yeah, we're going to be real careful. But we're winding it all down. And if anybody does want to shoot does or spike, we got room next weekend. We got to get rid of them. I think we picked up a couple of people off your show that are coming. And we got a couple of our guides with their kids are going to shoot some does and spikes. So it's a good time for dads with kids to come down.
Sure. And plus, get some last minute meat that they didn't get all year. Now's the right opportunity to do it. Well, hey, if somebody does want to call you about coming down and getting some does or spikes or whatever they get to shoot, throw them out a number, man.
All right. They can call me at 713-703-6656. And we're going to be here.
All right, Blaine. Well, good luck on your quail hunt this morning. Hope y'all whack them and stack them, man.
I'll send you some pictures in just a little while.
All right, buddy. Well, Blaine, appreciate it, and you have a good day. Good talking to you.
Appreciate y'all. All right.
All
bye-bye.
Right, see you. All right, that's Captain Blaine Friermuth down in deep south Texas. Fixing to do the quail thing this morning. Got fog. He likes it. It's prime for quail. All right. Let's go to Lake Livingston and talk to old Harry Detan over at Penwa Campground and Marina. Harry, good morning.
Hey, good morning there, Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. What's up with you?
Well, we're a little damp up here this morning, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't say it's raining, but it's been kind of a little bit drizzly off and on this morning. I mean, I don't know what it's supposed to do for the day. Maybe it'll clear up and quit, I hope, anyway. But it's a little bit damp. The winds are down. We hadn't really got a breath of wind out here this morning, and all it's pitch black outside.
Goodness.
And, I think the lake, we're right at normal pool. I mean, we're just sitting right on normal pool. And, you know, the release down at the dam, there's about 4,500 cubic feet a second. So everything's really pretty good. I piddled around yesterday, and I did see some pretty nice crappie come in and all. The water is in really good shape, especially up here in the creek. But and some of the fish that I was looking at yesterday, they had eggs in them. The fellow brought me some of the eggs, and they was, about the size of your thumb.
Uh-huh.
And all.
They're getting big quick, yeah.
Yeah, they. I think it's maybe a tad early, but maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, it was kind of, and they was nice-sized crappies. They were good crappie. But anyway, it's been kind of a so-so week here the last, the last 3 days, I guess. It's been nearly 60 degrees in the morning, at, say, 6 o'clock. And that's quite a contrast to what it was last week,
That 10-day stretch we had there, it was pretty cool.
It sure, tell me about it. It was real cool.
Real cool. Now we got this warming trend. I'm loving it. I like this kind of weather right here.
I do, too. But, the only bad thing about it, the way it is right now, when it warms up in winter, it goes to raining.
I know.
It'd be nice if we just, hold off a little bit on the rain. But everything's kind of starting to click along, we're starting to launch a few more boats and everything. So, deer season's kind of coming to the end and everything else. So there's a few more people showing up to go fishing. So that's a good thing, So
well, with this old COVID thing still hanging on and, as bad as it is, it's going to put a lot more people in the outdoors. That's where they want to be, shooting and catching.
Yes, sir.
And do their thing, bud.
Yeah. Mickey, we can certainly sell fresh air up here. We sure can.
I heard that.
We got plenty of fresh air. You get out on that middle of the lake and standing out in your boat fishing or whatever, you know, you're by yourself, there ain't nobody out there to breathe on you for a long, long ways. You're not going to have any kind of problems. But I will certainly be glad when we overcome this damn virus. I mean, it's
me and you both.
It's not good for anybody. Although I had a friend that I think he said he went out to Herman Hospital. Last Sunday.
Yeah.
And he had an appointment, and he said the appointment was right on time. He said he was in and out of there in slightly under 30 minutes. And he said he said everything was really well organized and all. But he said that they did, 13,000 shots by 11 o'clock, and then they was out of vaccine. So
that's lining them up like cattle right there, buddy.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's just like a packing house. It sure is. In and out and all. But that's good, you know. I mean, I'd sure like to wake up in the morning and know that about 5 million people had been vaccinated around me in a 80-mile radius, you know. I'd like that pretty good. But sooner or later, we'll get there. I mean, everybody's just going to kind of be safe and watch what they're doing, you know.
Stay out of crowds.
And, stay out of crowds, stay out of Walmart and all. I mean, heck, I went to Walmart, I don't know, it was right before Christmas, and most of the time I never do really feel very nervous about anything, but I went in there to get a prescription. And I said, my gosh, I really don't want to be there. I mean, this one up here, it has like 45 checkout stations.
Up there is just incredibly busy. Every time I've ever been by there, the parking lot is always slap dab full.
It is full. I mean, they draw people from the next closest Walmart to us. There'd be one in Huntsville, 45, 50 miles away, and there's one in Lufkin, that's 45, 50 miles an hour away. And then you got to go towards Kingwood Humble area, 60 miles. So it's full from a pretty good size area, you know. It really does. But my guys, that when I went in there that day, I mean, all the checkout lines was backed up and the self-serve backed up. And first thing went through my mind, I said, just get your prescription and get out of here as quick as you can. You know, I mean, there was people stacked up everywhere. But anyway, we made it. But I just seem to stay out here in the woods where there's not a whole lot of traffic and take it a little bit easier. But anyway, we've had some nice weather this week, and fishing's starting to come back around. The water looks really, really good. You can see probably, I don't know, a foot, 14 inches down in it, and all. So it's not too bad, sure not. Anyway, but hopefully we'll have a nice day today, and a few people come out. We need to break the ice and start the wheels turning again, and all. Sure do.
Well, spring runs right around the corner.
It's right around the corner, Mickey. It sure is. Yeah, I wish that boat show was going this year. I really do. I mean, you talk about a nice way to kick off the season, you know. I mean, you take a cold weekend and get 100,000 people trying to go through the boat show looking at new boats and rods and reels and all kinds of equipment, and then you get a spring-like day and they all head towards the lake. They sure do. It works. It's a pretty good igniter. It sure is. And all. But anyway.
Well, we get starting. The white bass run, crappie run going.
Yes, sir.
Bass fishing. If the lake don't get all muddy and right, you know.
You know, if we get a little bit lucky and we just don't get pounded in rain, everything will be in pretty good shape. And all.
Well, y'all are due for a good spring up there. So maybe
we are.
The year.
We will. I hope we get one. I mean, we certainly need one. I mean, we've had everything else but a good run, you know. But, yeah, the whites, you know, I mean, you know, right about, here coming up pretty quick, you know, they'll go to running upriver.
Sure they will.
Pretty good. Yeah, you know, for me, it seemed like, just looking back over the years, you know, March is a really good upriver type thing. You know, back in the day, you know, lots of years ago, seemed like it was December, January, but seemed like it's kind of rotated back down a little bit over the years. But, you know, I mean, there's a time, you know, we used to take a pontoon boat and take all your camping gear and go upriver and camp out for a week.
Yep.
Shoot squirrels and catch fish and all. It sure can. And all you know, and I tell you what else I saw the other day. I came right down through the back end of our campground there, and there's kind of an open area back under. And you know, there was a big old bald eagle. It came down and picked up something. I don't know what it was. It was a dead squirrel or what, but it just came out of nowhere and it picked that thing up and it was gone back up, you know. That was a pretty sight.
Yeah, it is. I love seeing our eagles the way they're coming back now. They're really really getting even prevalent down here on the coast, too. We're seeing a lot more of them every year.
Yeah.
Well, Harry,
we've been,
I got
yes,
to
sir.
Run, bud. It's,
well,
it's
Mickey, have a good day.
Time to hand off to the next one. But if somebody wants to call you up at Pinwall Campground and Marina, give them a number, man.
Just give us a call. That number at Pinwall is 936-967-4752. Everybody
right,
have
bud.
A good day today.
You do it, Harry. No. Good talking right. to you, bud. All right.
Thank
later.
You.
All right. That's Harry Detan up at Lake Livingston. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.